You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and big-time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host each and every week, Dr. Brian McCarty. Dr. Brian, how are you?
I am great. Big time, Mike McGivern. How are you?
I'm good. I have to change my name, I guess.
Why is that?
It's the first time you've ever called me that.
Oh, you know that's true.
Thanks to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer for that. Hey, a couple of things going on. First, And I know you're feeling bad, but Serena Williams.
Yeah, you know what? That is that's an interesting situation. And we're going to talk later in the show. We were really lucky. Scott Carson, one of the pros from Western Racquet Club, is going to come in and talk a little U.S. Open with us. We thought we were going to be talking about a coronation.
I know.
And, you know, I don't know how you win four consecutive Grand Slams in tennis and be disappointed. But she is disappointed because she's such a dominant, incredible player. And we're going to talk a little bit about the psychology of pressure and the realities that you still have to play the games, right? And here's a world-class player, probably the best women's player that's ever played, and maybe she succumbed to a little bit of the pressure yesterday.
The woman that beat her has never come close to beating
she
her.
She has not.
And so she obviously played extremely well.
She did, and you know, it's always easy to take credit away from her, you know, and blame Serena. But, you know, sometimes somebody rises up, sees an opportunity, and takes advantage of it. And, you know, good for Vinci. It's not the final we were hoping for, I guess, as fans. But, you know, it's the way it is. And we always jokingly
say,
you got to play the games, right?
Right.
But you do. I mean, and when you're the favorite, you go in every week with a lot of pressure. And she certainly has. This Sunday, I'll tell you what, you guys ought to be tuning in to see Djokovic and Federer. I have never seen a 34-year-old guy moving around a court like this. It is absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So I am a big Roger Federer fan, and I'm a little worried that he's not going to pull it off. But I'm telling you, it's pretty cool that he's there.
It's no awesome. Doubt. Hey, a couple of things as far as injuries with teams, local teams around here. We just heard that Corey Clement is out for today, and he's slowed by a groin injury. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about it. We hear that term a lot. We hear it a lot, and I don't really understand it. And I'm wondering if are they all, when you hear a groin injury, all relatively the same? Is it all different?
Well, you know, these are topics that would be good to introduce our special guest, Dr. Sean Tracy, as a sports medicine specialist with us at Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine. He and I both treat these injuries all the time. We see them all the time. And it's a very frequent question. So, Sean, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Brian.
Yeah, so tell us about that. What is the difference? Why do some people get back so quickly and others it takes a while?
You know, it's a spectrum of injury. You know, you can, quote unquote, tweak a groin and just have a little pull, have just very mild muscle damage or a mild injury to the tendon. And that's something, obviously, that, you know, you can recover quicker from. Or you can have a real severe tear where there's bleeding, bruising all down the leg. And that's obviously indicates a more severe injury to the muscle.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about a knee injury, you hear it's the MCL, it's this. You just hear groin injury.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things is groin injuries, if you want to call it that, have changed over the years. Our understanding of them has changed. The classic groin injury is an adductor strain. So that if you put your hand in your inner thigh there at the very top, you'll feel there's a very thick band of tendon. That thick band of tendon is the adductor muscle group, and that's what traditionally tears in a so-called groin strain. What's changed is that a lot of these aren't muscle tears, they're actually hip injuries. They're labral tears inside the hip. And up until 10, 15 years ago, we didn't really have a good way of diagnosing that. So somebody has a groin strain that goes on and on and on and on. A lot of those patients actually have labral tears. What do you think about that, Dr. Tracy?
Yeah, it's hard to diagnose a lot of times because people come in and they say, gee, my pain's right here. And that's where it takes a specialist to go and actually do certain tests, certain maneuvers, ask the right questions to be able to discern what that is. So when people just say, well, I just got a groin strain, well, you know, maybe it's not. And the reason you're not returning quicker from it is maybe it is something deeper in the hip.
You know, the other player on the Badgers who was cleared, Michael Caputo, he went through the concussion protocol and he's been cleared to play today. If you saw that play, and I think a lot of people have because he walked on the opposite side and started playing for Alabama there.
He
for
was
a
just
minute.
Confused.
He was. Yeah, well,
he thought they had the away uniforms and.
You know what? And that's, I think, Dr. Tracy, that's the Badger said, no, it wasn't a concussion. He got dinged a little bit, but come on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it certainly looked like a concussion, unless he was trying to steal some of Alabama's plays. But
well, the Alabama player was like, look at him, like, get on your side. What are you doing over here?
The other thing is, if it weren't a concussion, why did they keep him out?
Right.
So I think it's pretty likely that it was. It certainly looked like it to us.
Yeah.
And if we saw that, you know, we're on high school sidelines all the time. We saw that, and the guy's lining up on the wrong sideline. We're taking him out.
You're taking him out. Yeah. Hey, a couple of Green Bay Packers that I wanted to talk to you about. Morgan Burnett, it just came out, he has a calf injury, and that's kind of like groin injury to me. Did he tweak it? Did he strain it? All you hear is it's a calf injury. We talked about this with Aaron Rodgers last year, Dr. McCarty, and you made it perfectly clear that it's not all the same.
Yeah, they're definitely not all the same. This, again, comes into this muscle versus tendon tearing. And most calf injuries occur in the gastrocnemius muscle. There are three big muscles in the calf that power push-off. And so the soleus is really, really deep. That's less frequently injured, but occasionally. But the gastroc is quite frequently injured. And I suspect that's what he has, although I don't know. I haven't seen him, and I don't know for sure. But, again, they can be 1 to 2 week recoveries, or they can be multiple weeks. All I can tell you is Aaron Rodgers had a severe tear last year, and it was amazing that he was able to play. It really was.
You know, Dr. Tracy, when you talk about the calf and whether it's a tweak, a strain, a pull, they're just saying right now that he's questionable, and it's kind of hard to figure with some of these NFL injury reports. You're really never quite sure what they're talking about. One day the guy's out for 6 weeks, and 3 days later he's playing. But when you talk about a calf and you're a safety, he's got to make sure that that's healthy before he goes.
Right, that's critical. I mean, especially with the safety, they're backpedaling and then they need to plant and go attack the ball. And that's, you know, with him, that's really, really hard on the calf. So that needs to be 100%, especially early in the season. You don't want to risk it and have him go through a nagging injury throughout the year.
Hey, if we can, the Randall Cobb one, it surprised me a little bit with some of the things that he was open to say to the media and the public. And you know, it's his shoulder, and he's I guess, going to play. He's cleared to play on Sunday. And he said, look, I'll be on the field. But he made a comment that said, look, I just got to make sure that, you know, I got to be very careful how I land. Well, that's not totally up to him. You know, when you've got a linebacker and he's coming over the middle, my fear is that he re-injures that and he's out longer.
Well, that's the risk you take. I mean, but he has an AC joint sprain, we believe. And if the ligaments aren't actually torn and it's not unstable, you can play with them. And we have people play with them all the time. And, you know, what he's saying is he doesn't really want to land right on it because he knows it's going to hurt, and then he's probably not going to be able to play. So I don't know that he needed to say that. I think most people probably already figured this much.
But. Well, you know, it's funny. I was listening to an actual different sports station, one down in Chicago, and they said how remarkable the Packer organization is compared to the Bear organization, because when you ask a Packer player a question, he actually answers it. And you ask a Bear question, and he won't answer it. And I thought, I'd rather have Randall Cobb not answer that question. But you guys, everybody knows that certainly the defensive players of the Bears know that he's on the injury report because of his shoulder. And if they get a chance to light him up on that side, they're going to try to do that.
Yeah, but it's the Bears, so they probably won't even touch him.
Wow. But I'm pumped. Well done.
The other thing is, if the Bears guys answered every question honestly, they'd have to say Jay's a Jag over and over again. And they don't want to.
They don't want to do that. Hey, quick question about a guy that's on my fantasy football team, LeSean McCoy. He's been pretty much out with a hamstring. And all of a sudden, he said, look, I'm like 98% ready to go. Hamstrings, and you guys have talked about this, and Dr. McCarty, we've had this discussion. You want to make sure you're 100% because if you do that again, now you're going to be out quite a bit longer. Hamstrings are tough.
It's this whole thing about muscle strains and how these injuries occur. We were talking with Dr. Tracy before the show about the where these injuries occur in the hamstring. The hamstrings are very long muscle tendon units. They have tendon that attaches to the pelvis and then a tendon that attaches to the tibia, and there's this huge span of muscle in between. And where these tears occur, most of them occur where the tendon and the muscle join together, and those tend to recover fairly readily. The ones that happen in the tendon itself are much more difficult to recover from. So I'm sure they're putting them through the paces and seeing.
Is it the higher up, the more severe?
Yeah. They did a study actually in the NFL where they did MRIs of these, and they found that the more proximal, which means more, the higher up area is a more severe tear. And also there's four hamstring muscles, and if it involves more muscle bellies or more of the muscle itself too, it was worse. So yeah, I mean, these can go from you're back in a week to you're out for 3 months, depending on where you get it.
Yeah,
and occasionally they need
maybe
surgery.
That's why you dropped to about the fourth round.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in the fantasy draft.
Yes.
Yeah, I wish Gronkowski had a hamstring pull. I'm playing against him
you
this
and
week,
I both.
And I got smoked.
You and I both. Yeah, and
I hate that guy.
I'm not a big fan either. If he was on my team, I'd love him.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah, like that Bill Laimbeer syndrome.
Yes,
you know, you hated him unless he was on your team.
He never was, by the way.
Never was. No, I was never a Detroit Pistons guy. Really excited about talking to Dr. Tracy today. We're going to talk a lot about overuse and injuries, and we're going to talk about youth sports a little bit with him. And the discussion on when is enough. And I think that that's important. And I know, Dr. Tracy, you've done a lot of research on overuse, kids playing too much and the injuries that occur from that.
Yeah, this is a big topic that's been being talked about a lot more in the media. And it actually came out of a guy named Jimmy Andrews in the South was seeing with baseball pitchers. He was going room to room to room and seeing all these 14, 15, 16-year-old kids who had ulnar collateral ligament injuries. And he said, you know, this isn't what I saw years ago, so why is this? And he found that these kids in the South were pitching in multiple leagues, doing showcases, doing travel teams, and by 14, 15, they're blowing out their ulnar collateral ligaments. And he started this movement called Stop Sports Injuries and really started to focus on this.
Your practice, have you seen more kids at an earlier age that are just, in your mind, playing too much, Dr. McCarty?
Yeah, I think it's... I think what we see is confusion in the athlete and the parents about how much is enough. And when is it okay to say, we just need to shut it down for a little while and then come back at it. And so that's what we're going to talk about today is how do you know that? And when is it okay? So we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
We will. Segment two, in fact, we're going to really dive into that with Dr. Sean Tracy. You can go to mymosh.com, get more information on Dr. Sean. And you can also go to mymosh.com/thefan if you want to listen to today's show once it's over or any of the shows we've done in the past. Again, mymosh.com/thefan. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dropkick Murphys. I'm shipping out to Boston, courtesy of Dr. Sean Tracy. You saw a couple Irish guys dancing in here.
Yeah, we got three Irish guys in the booth
today.
There's
three of us. Yeah, we'll go get a pint after, you know. Anyway, Dr. Sean Tracy, you can check him out at mymosh.com. And we're talking about overuse injuries. And Dr. Tracy, this time of year, pretty busy in your practice, pretty busy at Mosh?
Yeah, I mean, this is when I really see a lot of the high school kids come in who have, over the summer, maybe been playing a lot of video games, you know, hanging out, not doing as much athletic activity as they might as far as preparation. And there's an interesting thing about overuse injuries. It's not just pure overuse. If you've been underusing and have been laying around on the couch playing video games and then all of a sudden say, oh, season's here, and you're going to go from 0 to 10 right away, you can get an overuse injury there because your body's not adapted. It's not used to it.
Yeah, and that's in all sports, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's most common in the sports that don't ramp up. So we see a lot of it in, say, cross country and things like that if the kids haven't been running at all through the summer. And so we always counsel the coaches, if you have kids that are maybe not on your varsity squad, they haven't been preparing for the season, and you just go out and you hammer them in the beginning, you're going to get a lot of stress fractures, and we see that.
Yeah, Dr. Tracy, with And you're talking about grade school, high school, and I wouldn't think college. If you're going to run cross country in college, you're going to be pretty fit and keep yourself prepared.
Yeah, that's a different animal. I mean, they're at college usually for that reason. They have off season training, and so it's mainly the younger kids, the high school kids, and the adolescents. But it is interesting because parents come in and they say, well, how can this be overused? He's only been doing cross country for 10 days or something like that. And that's where it takes the explanation of, well, you know, your tendons and your muscles have sort of gotten used to the sedentary phase. And all of a sudden you're putting them at a high level of stress. So I say don't try to get in a mid-season form in a week.
Right, especially if you haven't been preparing yourself for
it. Yeah, that's kind of the key. If you're going to, especially in endurance sports, you want to make sure that you build in. And we always get back to the same things, but having a plan. So if you're planning to get into cross country, then it's best to start some sort of training program through the summer. These days, it's a little bit easier because you have access to training programs online and you have applications that can kind of gradually build you in. So even if you're not in youth sports, if you're in old sports like all of us are getting to, if you want to build up to something, say you want to run a half marathon or a marathon, then obviously it's the same kind of process. So we talked a little bit about kids playing multiple games and all this kind of stuff over the weekends, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's say you have a soccer team and they're playing in two different leagues, and now you got four or five games on a weekend. You know, just remember, if your kids are getting sore, it's okay to take them out, because if a college or a professional player would never play four or five games on a weekend. It would never happen. So it's okay if they're sore. It's okay to rest it and come back next week and play and have fun.
And Dr. Tracy, you're really involved. You're a coach. You know your kids play. There's a lot of pressure coming. You know, you're the parent of a kid who's one of the best players on the team, and the coach is saying, look, I know he's sore, but this is the semifinal of this big tournament or this, you know, regional tournament or this tournament on the corner, but this coach is driving to try to get a win. Other parents are saying, look, your son or daughter's the best player on the team. I know she's a little sore. He's a little sore. So the pressure you feel as a parent to make sure that kid is playing feeds all into that.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And one of the things is parents, you know, we think of things like, well, we get sore when we do this, and that's okay. I'm just a little, a muscle tweak or something like that. I can work through that. Kids really shouldn't be sore. They shouldn't be playing sore. If a kid's out there and they're complaining of something hurting, that's not normal. That's an overuse. Their body's being overworked. That's a time to shut it down. It's not a play through the pain type of thing. And that's one of the things that parents really need to understand. We get sore and achy because we're getting older. Kids shouldn't have that. And so if your kid's complaining of pain in their heel, pain in their knee, that's not something to play through.
Dr. Brian, can I ask you this? When I was younger, we didn't have a lot of the organizational type things. And I don't know if we just went out and played. And I guess if we got tired or we were a little sore, then it was easy to sit out of the pickup game at Bartlett Avenue Playground. But it's different now.
It is different. It's mostly because of the pressures from outside. And I think a lot of these organizations, and we were talking about this a lot over the break, most of it is great. I mean, a lot of the organizations do an excellent job of trying to get their coaches to understand when a kid can play, when he shouldn't play. The problem comes in when there's pressure from outside that, you know, if you don't play, we're not going to win. And, you know, you're 10.
Right.
Right. And again, Dr. Tracy made an excellent point. If an athlete at that age, look, if their muscles are a little bit sore or whatever, you know, maybe that's okay. But if their knee hurts, or if they're limping is a big thing that we use. If somebody's limping, they're asking for Advil, and they're coming home every day, and that's not fun anymore. And when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, that's not the time to push through those types of things because you're still growing and lots of things can go wrong, and we see them every day in our offices. So,
and that's a great point what Brian made is it's when kids are growing. Right now my daughter's 9. She's playing with 9, 10, 11-year-old girls. They're all going through their growth spurt. All these parents are coming up and saying, hey, so-and-so's heel hurts. I'm like, yeah, they got Seaver's syndrome. It's the growth plate on the heel where the Achilles tendon, they all get it. Or you get a 12-year-old boy comes in with knee pain. I don't even have to go into the room yet. I'm like, yeah, he's got Osgood-Schlatter's. And I mean, these things, when kids are growing, they're really susceptible. The growth plates, the blood supply is a little different. Their muscle units aren't stretching out as fast as their bones are, and they're really susceptible. They can't do as much as, you know, they normally could.
So We've talked a little bit in past shows about things like Osgood-Schlatter's and Sievers disease is the same process in the heel, just so that people understand that. And these bones are growing faster than the muscles and tendons can keep up with them. Remember how we talked about groin and hamstring injuries and how there's gradations? The same thing is true for these problems. These problems come in different grades. I saw a boy the other day who has Osgood-Schlatter's with a huge fluid collection around the whole thing. And it's really, that's really a fracture, okay? That's no longer just like painful. And so it goes from, hey, it's achy from time to time, I need a little ice afterwards, take some Advil or Tylenol and it's better, to, you know, the kid's home limping around and can't function. And that can cause long-term issues. So if you're questioning about it, you know, seek a professional, get a good opinion about whether or not it's safe to proceed. And if your child is limping and they're coming home crying or they're asking for pills all the time, you got to understand it's okay to take the child out of the game for a little while. It's not the end of the world.
Right. I coached for a long time, and as you guys have been around this, there is a lot of pressure, and the coach says, look, we're going to shut this young guy down for a while. And the parents said, no, he's fine. And the kid's looking at you like, please help me here.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with that by saying, look, as much as you want him to play, I'm not playing him.
Well, Dr. Tracy and I take that role all the time, and we'll say, look, I'll be the bad guy. I'm telling you, you can't play. And you know, sometimes that's a relief to the parent, too, to be honest. Because, you know, there's all this stuff on ESPN, right? He doesn't have the heart of the champion. You know, and they really think that, and they think that applies to a 10-year-old. And they think this is a mental thing. He's not tough enough.
Yeah, wow. I think that's really important, and I agree with Brian. I'll be the bad guy. I say you're not going to play for 2 weeks, because you know what? If you do play, then you're probably not going to play for 2 months, because
right.
You're going to just injure it more. And these things, it's not something you can play through. It's not something you get through. Every time you're doing it and it's hurting, you're just setting yourself back further.
When you talk about Osgood-Schlatter, if a young guy or a girl, or mostly a guy, I think, right? Both guys and girls,
they all get it. Yeah.
If they try to play through that. I mean, is that just pain if you try to play through that pain, you can cause a lot more damage.
You can make it worse. I mean, You're basically pulling the growth plate apart.
I just did surgery this week in a guy who actually had a tryout with the Bears, and he didn't make it. He's trying out next year. But his knee was hurting him too much. We worked him up. He's got big ossicles in there from Osgood-Schlatter's when he was a kid that he just played through, and I actually had to go do surgery, take him out, and his tendon is all fibrotic.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's
again,
scary,
it's,
actually.
Well, it's not, it doesn't have to be scary. It has to be practical. So just be pragmatic. If your child is really hurting, there's so much pressure with all these leagues and all the money that we all invest in making sure that these kids can participate. I had a mother the other day say, well, can you just tell me if she's going to play? Because if she's not, I want to try to get some of the money back from the league,
right.
You know, which is totally reasonable. I mean, you know, it's a big investment.
Yep.
And she's a really elite player. And I said, you know what? You're probably best off taking the money out this term. And she was very, you know, happy with that and relieved by that.
Yeah.
And now their daughter's going to get better and she's going to be fine for the next go around.
So. Yeah. Sometimes you got to follow the money. I believe that. Hey, let's talk. Let's get to a break. Let's have the break. Let's talk a little bit about how to prevent some of these injuries. And Dr. Tracy, you think maybe it's a little bit easier than maybe some parents like me think. I mean, we can do some things to prevent these. And we'll talk to Dr. Sean Tracy. Go to mymosh.com if you want more information on Dr. Tracy. And again, you can go to mymosh.com/thefan to listen to this show after it's over or any of the shows we've done in the past. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Just in case you wondered where Dr. Sean Tracy's heart is at, where he went to college, it's a Notre Dame fight song. He stood up. He's got tears coming down his cheek. It's incredible.
It's actually true.
It is true. Our special in-studio guest for the entire hour, Dr. Sean Tracy. Again, you can go to mymosh.com to get more information on him. And now you can sit down. They've stopped playing that song. Hey, we're talking about injuries, and we're talking about overuse injuries and how we can prevent them. You know, what advice do you guys have for parents and coaches to prevent injuries and keep these kids playing safely?
You know, so not to go back to what we said before, but certainly if your child is limping around, they're coming home complaining, they're icing after every practice because something hurts, that's a real clear sign. You know, you see swelling in an elbow or knee or something like that. Kids shouldn't have swelling. So that's a real clear sign there. So that's an easy one. A second thing that I tell parents is you should have 2 to 3 months off of that sport for the year. Okay. And one of the things where they get confused is they say, okay, well, we're off of, we took time off of volleyball, but now we're doing basketball, which might be the same type of jumping thing. It might be the same, you know, stress on the knee, or we're doing that concurrently. So people get confused. They say, well, they say we're supposed to play multiple sports. And so my son's playing tennis and he's also pitching at the same time. So that's multiple sports. So we're doing what you said. Well, no, but you're still stressing the same joint. And so that's something that we really need to look at is if you're going to play multiple sports, they need to be something that doesn't do the same motion.
For example?
Tennis. If you hit a topspin in tennis and you're pitching, that's stressing the ulnar collateral ligament. If you're playing volleyball and basketball at the same time, you're stressing your patellar tendon. That's jumper's knee. You're doing lots of jumping. Swimming is something where you're using shoulders a lot. And if you're hitting a lot of overhead shots in volleyball, that's something. Versus if you play... let's say you're playing soccer, basketball is a nice alternative to that because it's using different motions, different muscles. And that's really what we're referring to as trying to cross-train and do different things. But you really should have 2 to 3 months off and not, well, this is club season or this is off-season training. No, off of that sport so you're resting those units.
Yeah, I mean, just to echo this whole idea, it's a matter – look, the kids who aren't having any problems – aren't a problem, you know, and that most kids are like that. Most kids are out and they're playing different sports and maybe they're playing baseball and tennis and that's fine. And they're not having any issues. But if the kid's having pain with the elbow when he's pitching and he's having pain in the elbow when he's playing tennis, then obviously he's got a problem with his elbow and there needs to be relative rest. So that's the whole point. It does get a little confusing. It's not rest. It's relative rest. In other words, you don't quit doing anything at all, ever. You just change the idea of what you're doing. And there's actually a lot of evidence that this is helpful for performance. And remember, we're talking, I hate to confuse people out there, because we're talking about different age groups. These are younger kids, maybe under the age of 13, 14, and they're not yet in high school, and they're playing multiple sports. It is helpful to play multiple sports, I believe, through high school, because I think in the end, most of us end up playing sports for fun.
Right.
And even if you play in college, you end up playing for fun. And so it's good to have lots of different things that you can do. But, you know, because we know a lot of people who burn out on a sport, they never want to play it again, quite frankly, because they've only done one thing forever. But I think it's helpful to take up various sports, and it's very clear that this can influence in a positive way your performance in your chosen main sport.
Right.
And so parents really need to be aware of that as well. There's such a thrust in the professional ranks about focus and always overworking. And that's a professional athlete. They're different sets of rules. They're older. They're different training. They're frankly physically totally different types of human beings than most of us. And that's not applicable to a 10-year-old.
Dr. Tracy, as a basketball coach, you know, kids grow different ages, different... And you'll have, you know, an eighth grader who's 6'1", and as I coach him, and there's some things going on, they'll say, well, you know, he's taller, he's already a grown up, and so that idea of kids, are they like little adults? I don't think they are.
No, absolutely not, and neither mentally nor biologically. First of all, we talk about growth, and we say, okay, he's 6'1". Well, maybe his dad's 6'6", and his mom's 5'11", or something.
Right.
And he is still growing, and especially if he's in a rapid phase of growth, he's at risk for injury. The second thing is mentally. The kids, they don't know how to deal with the injuries and the pressure and things like that like we think of it. And as much as we think we understand our kids— just think about all the things that kids do that we say, why would you do that? Well, clearly we don't completely understand them, and that applies to sports too.
Yeah, boy, is that a good point. There is a really excellent book on neuroanatomy called Incognito. I would recommend to anyone. And they talk a lot about this, the development of the frontal lobe and how it's not connected fully in adolescence. And that's why you get a lot of this impulsive behavior. It's not because kids are just, you know, kids, they're physically not fully developed
right.
mentally.
And
you
it
know?
Doesn't matter how tall they are.
No, it does not. And so a lot of this does feed back into that. So when you're training and kids make mistakes and all this, well, that's true because they're not full grown adults yet in psychologically or physically. So again, look, these are all great things for us to do to encourage kids to be active and out there doing their thing, but always make it fun. Make sure the kids are enjoying it. Make
right.
sure they keep wanting to push harder and do their own thing.
Last question before we get to a break. What kind of injuries do you guys see that you feel and that you think could be prevented?
You know, that's a good question. One of the things I worry about most is stress fractures because that's something that can have long-term implications. And that is, you know, especially in females, one of the things we look for is something called a female athlete triad. If your daughter is not having her normal period and her eating seems to be disordered, meaning she's not wanting to eat and skipping meals, things like that, that's something really to watch for, especially if she starts complaining of hip pain or foot pain. That's a big thing that I see that can have really big long-term repercussions. So for parents, that's something to watch out for, especially in females, thinner females, cross-country runners.
Yeah, and Dr. Tracy alluded to one of them earlier. This whole idea of elbow injuries and throwers is a big thing, you know. And so there are a lot of them, to be honest. And we talk to the coaches. And if any coaches are interested, they can go to mymosh.com. They can look up Dr. Tracy or Dr. McCarty or any of our other sports partners. If they want advice about how to look for these problems and prevent them, we're happy to talk to them about it. We do it all the time.
Hey, really quickly, I hear shin splints, that term a lot. And I just shake my head and go, yeah, he had shin splints. Wait, what is shin splints?
It's really a spectrum of injuries. There's shin splints can be a stress fracture. That's usually the most severe. It can be something called medial tibial stress syndrome, which is where the muscle is really pulling off the bone, and you get inflammation where the muscle meets the bone. It's also called periostitis. And then you can get something called exertional compartment syndrome, where the more you run, the pressure builds up, and it gives you pain. So it's really a spectrum of things. So don't just blow something off and say, well, that's just shin splints. That's not a big deal. I mean, it could be potentially a big deal. You should, you know, come in and have it evaluated.
Yeah.
Classic shin splints is the periostitis issue with the muscle, but it gets confused, as Dr. Tracy said, and it can segue in if there's one focal pain, like one spot, that's more likely a stress fracture type injury. So again, if it's been going on a while, it's not getting better, get it checked out. Or if you're limping around, that's the other thing.
Hey, we're going to get to a break. Scott Carson's.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about this. Scott is a phenomenal guy, and he was actually the USPTA, or United States Professional Tennis Association, Teacher of the Year a couple of years ago. He's going to join us, talk a little bit about the U.S. Open coming up, and he's also recovered. He was one of our first anatomic double bundle ACL reconstructions a number of years ago, and he's fully recovered from that, become one of the top teachers in the sport. And he's an expert in youth sports. He and the professionals at Western Racquet Club run these youth tennis programs that are absolutely fantastic. And so we wanted to bring him in, talk a little U.S. Open, and talk about kids in tennis and youth sports.
And we'll talk to him on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
Will.
Yes, Dr. Brian McCarty taking over the music in that one. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Our special in-studio guest, he's great, Dr. Sean Tracy. Go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Tracy. We have a special guest from the Western Racquet Club, Scott Carson.
Yeah, Scott is awesome. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good, Doctor. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem.
So we've been talking a lot about youth sports, but before we get to that, we want to talk a little U.S. Open. So what happened to our girl Serena yesterday?
Well, that's the beauty of tennis. Any given day, anything can happen. She had, I believe, 66 unforced errors, so she definitely was not at her best. Her opponent is somebody that's been on the tour for a long time, had more success in doubles, and put everything together to, come up with a great victory. And her reaction after the match was priceless. So happy to see it for her, but unfortunate for the sport. It would have been great to have a Grand Slam winner this year.
Yeah, it's but it is credit to Vinci, isn't it? I mean, we all sort of blame Serena, but, you know, she played it correctly. She made Serena hit winners, and Serena was a little nervous maybe, right?
Right, and as the pressure builds, if you make balls, and she had a great quote after the match, you make balls and you run. You make balls and you run, and that's the essence of tennis, is making balls and moving your feet. So she did a great job of making Serena beat her, and Serena couldn't do it yesterday, so...
So what do you think about this final coming up with Djokovic and Federer? How amazing is that?
That's the matchup that all tennis fans have been looking for in this championship. The two preeminent names in tennis right now are Djokovic and Federer. I would call it a coin flip match. It could go either way, just depending on who serves the best. But I'll be definitely pulling for Federer, so I'll predict Federer in five sets tomorrow.
I like it. I'm with you. Hey, listen, when we talk about youth sports, we're here with Dr. Sean Tracy, who's our guest in studio today. He's another one of our sports med guys. So how do you guys run such a beautiful program? I mean, I lost track of how many people are ranked in the top, you know, 10 to 15 in the state from your program. But how do you guys do such a good job with youth sports?
I think the biggest thing for us is consistency, having teachers and coaches that know what they're talking about. They know the product. They've been there before. They've all done it. And then the other thing we really emphasize is our older kids in the program kind of leading the younger kids and trying to be mentors for them going forward. We have kids that are ranked in the top in the state in 18s and 16s and 14s. And they're great role models and great kids for our younger kids in the 10s and the 12s age groups. So it really feeds on itself and allows us to use the older kids as examples and how to do it and the right way to train and the right way to succeed on the tennis court.
Well, I have to tell you that I've been very impressed over the years. You know, obviously Tim and Corwin runs the entire place there, and he's incredible. But I have to tell you guys that the way that they do that, using the older athletes as models, you know, you think I think a lot of people still remember McEnroe being kind of the Brad of tennis. And I can't tell you how polite these kids are. They're really well-behaved. They do a great job with line calls. You guys really emphasize a lot about the honesty and integrity of the game there too, don't you?
Absolutely. Tennis is probably one of the only sports that, at a very high level, you're, you know, like golf, I guess, in that way. You're calling your own lines, you're calling your own violations, and it's really important that you understand that's the most important thing. Obviously, the result is important, but the integrity and how you play the game, the tennis etiquette, is something we stress with our kids all the time, and we expect a lot from them in that way.
Hey, Scott, this is Mike McGivern. Quick question for you, and we just got a couple of minutes. The change in when kids start working out and weightlifting and doing that type of trying to get ready to play their sport, have you seen a big change over the years?
Absolutely. We have, even in our summer program, we have our high school athletes out every morning for 9 weeks from 8 to 9:30 in the morning. The last couple summers for 3 days a week from 7:30 to 8 a.m. we have kids out with a trainer on the tennis court doing tennis-specific agility, quickness, and speed things on the court to work on getting faster, quicker, stronger. Our top athletes are in the weight room for several hours each week trying to improve their quickness, their speed, their strength, and it's incredibly important in the game of tennis because these points are lasting longer than they ever have. The points are a grind, and so you need to be in top physical condition to compete at the highest level, and that's what we expect our athletes to do here, and so they're ready for any competition that they have coming forward.
He is Scott Carson from Western Racquet Club. I see why you're a big fan of his.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, they do everything at the absolute top class level, and I think tennis is a great sport, a great segue sport to all the other ones. So thank you so much, Scott.
Guys, thank you, Scott. Dr. Sean Tracy, thank you so much. Again, you can check his information out, mymosh.com. Great show today, guys. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks for having us on, Mike.
And we thought about going with the Bears Still Suck, but went with the Rocky theme. Thanks for the music. He is Dr. Brian McCarty, my co-host each and every week. This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.